Welcome to New Realities. I'm Alan Steinfeld, and I'm very happy to be back here with some of my favorite people because they epitomize the essence of what I call New Realities. They are scholars in linguistics, religion, archaeology, environmental studies, and one of my favorite topics, the coming disclosure of E.T. civilizations, E.T. visitations. That will be the topic of tonight's show. I'm here tonight with Dr. J.J. Hertog and Dr. Desiree Hertog. Before the show, we were talking about what would be the effect on human civilization once the government releases the fact, because it is a fact. All you have to do is look a little bit on the internet and see there we've been visited. The fact that we are being visited by beings that are not of this earth. What effect will that have on human civilization?
A very profound question. And I think we have a taste of this in the famous classical film called The Day the Earth Stood Still, where people in the 1950s were seen in a fearsome mood of future shock. A vehicle encircles Washington, D.C., and of course we're told of this robotic form that comes out, right, shocks humanity, and in the midst of all of those noted religionists, political scientists, journalists gathered on the White House lawn or in the confines of Washington, D.C., the being behind the robot, a handsome-looking Michael Banner, says, basically, we come in peace, and you must, if I can paraphrase, learn the lessons of life if you're going to coexist with us. We've come into a unique 21st century of pioneering space, resolving many of the problems of the Cold War. However, we haven't resolved the problem of facing up to the reality that evolution doesn't stop with planet Earth. It continues.
And with humans themselves.
We are looking now at the, shall we say, the old scenarios of religious and political paradigms clashing between East and West, suggesting that we have just a short time to live together in peace if we're going to see the human initiative reach out positively, as I believe we can in the context of E.T. Close Encounters.
Well, I'm really excited because we do feel that in the next 4 years or even sooner, maybe one of the new governments in this country, the U.S., or in Russia or in China, will come forward. And as we were discussing amongst us earlier, this really will be more, hopefully, than just saying there's bacterial life on Mars. You know, when we get to Mars in 2020, it's not only us going there, we're taking one probe, but there's also ESA, which is the European Space Agency, has its probe with Russia. So it's a good opportunity in 2020 that might be released. But we're more optimistic than that, hoping that the governments will officially release information. And this is extremely important because they have the information. That's the key.
No, of course they have the information. They've had it since Roswell, since 1947. There's been a huge cover-up by our government and the secret government. I think the whole idea of secret governments and conspiracies went back to Roswell in order to cover up the idea, starting with Truman, not to scare the people. We were just coming out of World War II. They didn't want to, like, have a new enemy, a new menace to deal with. So they cover it up, and it's like once you tell a little lie, it becomes a bigger lie and a bigger lie. Now they're in such deep hole that it's going to take a lot of explaining.
Yes, well, in fact, this is what Colonel Scott Jones explained to my colleagues when we had the first official government disclosure in 1995 in Washington, D.C. How will the government higher-ups explain that they've been sitting on all of this information, decrying, as it were, the possibility that there are other scientific civilizations?
Well, because Roswell was only the beginning. I think this is very important for people to realize. And then it went to the possibility, and this is from people that we know that had been connected with Area 51, that there was a Kingman crash in Kingman, Arizona. Mm-hmm. And that vehicle was taken. It was the purpose. It wasn't really a crash. It was actually.
Wait, you mean after Roswell in 47? Yes. When was the Kingman crash?
In the early 50s.
Okay.
Okay. And that vehicle was taken literally on a barge because they couldn't get it across the bridge where the Hoover Dam is. And then they brought it to Area 51.
Okay.
And aboard that and in connection with that were live alien intelligence. Now, we're going to see actually very shortly with the Roswell information coming out again next year, because that's what the 70th
anniversary is. 1947 to 2017.
So, and more and more information has come out that it was maybe more than one vehicle, maybe there were two, more than
The Guy Hutter report says there were three vehicles with three bodies in each vehicle.
Okay, well, let's even say just two, that there were bodies in the vehicles. Most were dead. There may have been a few that still lived. So this is like a lot to cover up. But then you get the Kingman crash on top of that, where you have this vehicle that then becomes given to our government of the U.S. to learn from and to back engineer.
Right. But I think going back to this whole idea of the government cover-up, I think it'll be a very political kind of excuse, like they did with pardoning Nixon and all these political cover-ups. They'll say, okay, this happened. We're going to create an amnesty for anyone who was part of that lie and cover up, and time to move forward into the future with this new technology at hand. They'll completely whitewash the whole past, so in a maybe a positive way, so we can move forward with this whole new spiral. It's a new evolution to human society if we dwell on. I'm not saying these people shouldn't go forward and explain their actions, but if we keep dwelling on the past, we will miss the advantages of what this new phase of civilization has to offer us.
Exactly. And I think 2017 is an appropriate time to come clean, to have, as it were, a forgiveness of past political sins or omissions, commissions,
like
and move on really to the next level of seeing the fantastic advantages of being put into a face-to-face scenario with advanced scientific civilizations that are waiting for humanity to wake up and to seize the opportunity that we are citizens of the universe.
Exactly. You know, I say the whole thing with the Mayan calendar in 2012 was not that it was the end of the world and all that, but it was the awareness that we were part of a galactic civilization. That's what 2012 was really about. It's showing we live in a bigger neighborhood. We're not just a solar system or a planet. We're part of a galactic federation, a galactic kind of
cosmic civilization.
Cosmos, yeah. That the galaxy is our home and not really just the solar system. It's like saying, oh, you live in New York City and that's all there is. No, you live in New York State, you live in the U.S., you live on
planet Earth.
So we live not, and we are more, this is part of my theory, you can
Add to it and comment
if it's true. I think we are more informed by galactic energies of the whole spiral than the solar energies.
Right, Homo Galacticus. And this is why the Keys of Enoch speak of us
as
a cosmo or cosmic, planetary, anthropo-ecological being or essence. We are, as it were, a variety of life forms all centered in this anatomical form we call the human body.
But what I also think that Alan is speaking about, though, is the fact that, okay, we have a global mind. I think many people realize that.
We have a global mind, but we have a solar mind, and is that where you're going with?
Yes, where I was going.
And we have a galactic mind.
And we even have, we can tap in, as we see from aspects of remote viewing, into even what we would call a universal mind. And that's where some of the real higher thought forms, the thoughts of love, understanding, helping humanity come from. But there's also, as we were discussing earlier privately, that there's also some local levels of intelligence that are quite still narcissistic that we think is also feeding energies to this planet.
Well, I think the smaller your group, you know, in the evolution of this human family, we went from, the family to the tribe, and these were very isolated things, to the state, the city state, to the nation, and now we're in that, we're going to a global, but from global, the next step in our evolution link up with other global
is the universal.
Yeah, well, at least the kind of
cosmic
local civilizations.
Yeah. So, and this is why the overview picture must be the linking of the political to the sociological, mm-hmm. to the spiritual, to the cosmic. Mm-hmm. And with this, the realization of a whole new breakthrough in new science or future science, which is science guided by consciousness. Now, to that end, I want to introduce a new book that Desiree and I have been working on, entitled Mind Dynamics, written with Elizabeth Rauscher, the leading physicist, mathematician. And here we have 40 years of research. Mm. This book details what the government privately paid for.
What is that?
The Mind Over Matter studies at Stanford Research Institute.
You mean the remote viewing studies?
Right.
An exact page-by-page description with pictures, illustrations, mathematical theorems, and also the actual methodology that works.
Well, for those listening at home, you can't see the beautiful cover, but it is really a cosmic cover. Who designed that?
Desiree.
Did Desiree design that? Wait, let me look at this for a second. No, I know it's, look, it looks a lot like the Keys of Enoch, but I guess because you, but the cover is really nice. There's people listening here.
It's a complimentary. We have a little transmission problem.
I think the important thing is that when we talk about how we can do a mind reach out to humanity, that we can also do a mind reach to these other levels of intelligence. And what's very important is the fact that once we do that, we will realize, and this is one of the difficulties with the cover-up story, that there is more than one type of intelligence out there. And that one type of, those various types of intelligence are very hard to understand in the cosmic awareness that we're growing into.
And this is why we have another text, the space law.
I know what you're talking about with cover-up, because you were guys were covering up something. But the Hertogs were saying they're coming out with this beautiful new book called The Mind Dynamics.
Excuse us.
Sorry, we're just in the studio. We just have a little inside joke here. Yes. Okay.
What we're doing is convincing on the reality that we need other books and illustrations.
To explain the power of what we're going to be understanding in the next 3 to 4 years, and maybe sooner, because it's really exciting that we do, I think all of us sitting here.
This is the joy of the next level of the unfoldment of the global mind.
But
it's
anyway,
to have humor, really. I'm sure people have no idea what we're actually laughing about, but
well, we're showing a bit future taste.
But let me just say, we're very excited that the next, no matter who, I said to Stephen Bassett, no matter who gets in next, chances are they will release the government cover-up information that the Lawrence Rockefeller Initiative and many other people have tried to push for. And so I know that, Alan, one of his questions was, what was the Lawrence
What was Lawrence Rockefeller doing? They're going to think we're like been drinking or something. You know, just...
Okay, so the Lawrence Rockefeller Initiative was really important.
Okay. No, what Desiree's saying is Lawrence Rockefeller in the 1990s brought together a lot of UFO investigators, including wanting to expose Bill and Hillary Clinton to the idea that there is this behind-the-scenes UFO situation because obviously it's been covered up to even presidents, even those in charge, because of the secret government. So Lawrence Rockefeller, he wasn't in the government, but he had he brought a lot of people together to investigate these ideas and expose, and wanted the Clintons to expose this while Bill Clinton was president. Obviously, he didn't. So we feel the next time around with Hillary, if she is elected, if and when, there's a chance that she will come out with everything she learned from Lawrence Rockefeller and more since those 20 years since the 1990s.
Also, it's important to know that the Rockefeller Commission only touched lightly on the different categories of higher intelligence. And I have here, I know this cannot be seen by those.
Yeah, tell us what you're showing us.
Illustrations of what we call whole light beings or energy forms of intelligence. Mm. And again, if there
well, describe what you're showing. You describe what you're
seeing. Looking at a human body that, instead of having the normal anatomical parts, has a series of energy geometries, each more beautiful than the other, that reminds one of the Kachinka dolls or life forms that the Central American Indians.
Oh, the Hopis and the Navajos.
In North America, feel are the messengers from the stars. These are beautiful forms of intelligence. And I share them with the audience both on our screen, our video screen, as well as on the radio, because we have, that is to say, Desiree and I, have been categorizing these different categories of life forms.
Well, we also have this as physical beings. We still have these same kind of light spheres around us, but you're saying they don't have a physical body.
The light beings, we will call them the ultra-terrestrials, can take any form. They don't have a physical form that they're connected with, as we as humans have to have our organs, have to have our circulatory system, have to have our, so we say, breathing tubercles in a particular position to the human body.
Right, and so I think this is important to realize when we talk about other levels of intelligence. You know, we are in the third now, the fourth dimension. Some people are even saying, though, we can start functioning a little bit in our mind space in the fifth or even the eighth space. This is something Elizabeth Rauscher talks about, because that's where we were able to see things like the deja vu experience. Mm-hmm. But then you have ET beings that are on the third, fourth, fifth, maybe sixth dimension, also operating up until the eighth dimension. And then you have another level of reality that goes even up to, according to Dr. Hertak, the 24 dimension.
Well, how do you distinguish one dimension from another? I know what the third dimension is.
Well, these are nice terms in classical physics. You know, it's ridiculous to go beyond the fourth dimension, but in string theory, physics, we can speak of 11 dimensions. And in Enochian, or higher science, we speak even of 24 dimensions.
But how does that interface with consciousness?
Well, I was going to say, well, on a very practical level, in terms of with ET, you have those that can come through walls and windows. I mean, they must be working with something beyond the third or fourth dimension.
Or maybe they just know that the third dimension has more empty space, and they're able to have a technology that can move through that space.
Exactly.
So, well, no, but also if you're working on the fifth dimension, you're able to put those two realities together.
Actually, it's the expansion of the inner eye, which in the Eastern tradition is the third eye. We would call it the pineal gland area, that is activated in a way of inner resonance, biological attunement, and spiritual knowledge, so that our perceptual levels are enlarged. We can actually begin to see these different color and geometric forms, whereas the normal vision cannot see this. We're blocked by our rational mind to accept things that are beyond the scale of our comprehension. Right. Nonetheless, as we see here in the documents I brought for our discussion, several artists working with the Academy of Future Science have detailed these beings with halos around their heads, describing various universal languages, which is to say, telepathically, these beings emanate a light very much like a microbiological laser beam from their third eye. And out of this beam of light, we see a series of alphabetical forms of energy.
Well, don't you think we emanate something from our third eye, too? It's just maybe not as strong, but there's a lot of people who could activate that.
Well, this was something that Joe Camilla, a noted engineer in Northern California, was able to demonstrate systematically in the 1960s. And when I was working with the Disney Corporation, Namjoon Paik from Korea, also noted engineer and laser specialist.
I knew Namjoon Paik and video artist.
He set up the video screen. He set up the oscilloscopes. He set up the biofeedback system and an oscillator so that you could actually see on the video screen how there were discrete energy levels of the mine.
I didn't know that.
Create color patterns.
Oh, really? So what is that that's emanating out of our third eye?
Well,
is that a biophotonic...
You could call it that in modern language. They simply thought of this as the spiritual aura body that was emanating through a silver cord that was connected with the sixth or the seventh energy center of the mind.
But it seems that the body has certain vortex points. We talk about the planet having vortex points. Well, the body
and chakras. Does too. Would you call them chakras?
Chakras. They're really wheels, and these energy fields actually can receive and send information. And that's why I think people look at the sixth chakra, the seventh chakra, as a place that these energy fields can really be augmented.
Well, what do we have here? We have a first dimension. These are all chakra points
Points. And they're wheels.
Wheel-like or spin points of energy.
But let's talk about that because this is on like a particular being, but you know, the planet has it as well. And oftentimes some of the extraterrestrial intelligence are known to land in particular places. For example, Alan, we spent time together, of course, with Contact in the Desert, which is coming up again next May. And the giant rock area where we'll be taking some people to actually is a kind of mini vortex that the indigenous people have been going there for hundreds of years.
Well, it is a vortex. Just like Sedona is a vortex. Right. When you go past Bell Rock in Sedona up the highway 179, you go through a gateway. Do you ever feel that? As you pass the Bell Rock, it's like you're in a different dimensional space.
Yes.
And where everything is more peaceful. It's more calm. So that's why I feel like... as we go to these different vortex points, we are coming into new levels of consciousness as well. So I also feel there's an association between aliens and vortex points. Can we talk about how the Earth energies are dealing with how the and alien contact are related?
These vortex points are real energy areas where the biomagnetic energies of the body, the geomagnetic of the Earth, and we call the astral magnetic of different star constellations in a very unique way converge. Mm. So the people stepping into these areas actually feel that they're being altered into a higher state of consciousness.
Is that some... But the ETs... Go ahead, sorry.
Well, the ETs use these vortex areas to energize their reality where they can become, shall we say, more visible or less visible. These are basically portals connecting our energy zone as three-dimensional beings with those from other dimensional realities.
And you have the bigger ones like the Bermuda Triangle.
Oh,
I grew up in Florida, which is Miami, which is one of the tips of it. The other, of course, is Bermuda, and the other is out in the Atlantic. And people all the time would see UFOs. And a friend of mine, this is very interesting, actually.
Yeah.
She was an underwater diver, and they were on an expedition. And they were out there in the Bermuda Triangle for over a month doing their studies. And one time they had this very strange effect, which is where you can't tell the difference between the ocean and the sky. That's really the Bermuda effect. And the two came together, and what you do is you actually back your boat up and follow your wake until you get out of the phenomena.
Oh, really? What if you kept going into it?
Well, no one knows because people have disappeared there. But at the same time, she had contact. The whole boat had contact with aliens.
Really? While they were approaching this anomaly in the Bermuda Triangle?
Well, shortly thereafter, actually.
Really?
And it was funny because a friend of ours who's an attorney in Florida was trying to really interrogate her about this. And all of a sudden, the shelf that had been like stuck in the kitchen with food and everything just went flying off because, and this is very common amongst people who have had contact, that there's always this linkage
between paranormal and ET. What is that link? I've heard about that too. I mean, I've had ET contact, but I haven't had that much paranormal.
Well, I think that there's some sort of like harmonious connection with brainwaves, like we were talking about in terms of remote viewing. And then you have some people like George Van Tassel, who actually has what he calls an I-beam or something
what
like that.
What is that?
Well, it's some sort of linkage that he felt that they gave him.
So George Van Tassel, this noted contactee in the deserts of Southern California near Palm Springs.
Yes.
In 53, he had an encounter with a being called Suganda, and he received certain levels of information, allowing him to build what was classically known as the Integratron, a massive dome-like structure through which the biomagnetic forces of the body could be altered.
But anyway, but people who've had contact often feel like there's a constant contact. And even though maybe they can block it at some times or whatever, and other people would say, well, they were given an implant, but others say, no, it wasn't necessarily an implant. It's just like a frequency link that's always there. Because, you know, it's like you get that with family. I mean, if you're a mother and daughter, and many people know this, and the kid goes somewhere far away, you can still feel that connection.
Well, you said that Rupert Sheldrake proved that with animals even. They knew when their owners were coming home. So we are psychically linked to each other and a planetary civilization and if you've made contact, we're psychically linked to those.
So point us back now into the theme of our conversation tonight. It's the sociological and the spiritual linkage that come together with authentic, positive ET and UT visitors. They link us up in a way that we can successfully see ourselves as holistic beings connected with them, connected with a greater universe, connected with a greater plan of awareness. So we don't not go back into the fear modalities or the, what should we say, the close encounters of futurist shock.
Right. I think we have to get over the fear factor, number one, not just in terms of ET, but in terms of every element of our lives. And when we realize we're basically living in a positive universe, in a universe that's for life, pro-life, and we're built with the capacity to expand so much more than we've been told and limited and shut down by our education and religions and governments. When we can expand out of there, we realize the universe, the galaxy, the planet itself is full of mystery and full of beauty and wonder and joy. We're here to have laughter.
In the sense, this was depicted by our ancestors.
Yeah.
And on the cave walls in Northern Africa, in the Middle East, the Far East, you cannot go into the underground caves along the Silk Road of Central Asia, China and Tibet, into the great monastic communities of antiquity without being awestruck by the vast designs of the multiple levels of Buddhas, Bodhisattvas, avataristic beings that represent the bringing of a higher type of knowledge to human civilization. Unfortunately, the political ups and downs in many of these civilizations curtailed a study of this phenomena, and it was segregated to the level of the mystical to the exclusion of the practical. Now in the 21st century, the practical through the paranormal, through the mystical is coming together, and this is our work. In future science, to open up the other dimensions of consciousness experience.
But let me ask you, because there's always... I mean, I talk to a lot of spiritual people. They say, what do you need to know about UFOs, ETs? When it's everything is within us. And I say, no, this is a way of expanding consciousness. This is, but what is the relationship, I'll ask you, to this great cosmic inner mind? And do the ETs even have that? Or are they, in a way, beyond that? And we're just trying to get to ground zero, which is the Buddha mind, in order to make contact.
Well, I would say that according to the Pista Sophia,
one of our textbooks, meaning faith and wisdom together.
Right, that we did commentary on. Things are actually within and without. Mm-hmm. And it is that balance. It's not just within, so the world kind of goes away. It's not just without, so we forget about who we really are and our higher connection, but it's both. And so that's very important. Now, in terms of ETs, you cannot blanket say ETs because there's so many different levels of ETs.
For example, different types. You can't, like people.
Yeah. Even George Van Tassel, as we were talking about him, he actually was talking to certain ETs, but he said that there are ETs above those ETs. Well, so, I mean, he recognized that from his own contact.
The thing about human beings, you look at human beings, you look in their eyes, you basically know who they are, what they feel, what they've experienced. But with ETs,
no, well, they
how
give
can
you,
we know them?
Well, I think that their field is extremely powerful. In fact, people ask us, because we say that there's positive and negative ETs, so they say, how do they know? Well, you don't even have to ask them. You can feel the vibration. There's a field that
but
they
exude.
But
that's what's so weird. Some of the fields they exude, not purposely, but they're kind of creepy. They're kind of scary.
Well, maybe
kind
there's
of
a
like
reason
just,
why we
and
kind of feel
this is why
that
there
way.
Has to be a re-education
yes.
of the human psyche. And to that end, we are coming out with a series of textbooks.
Okay, tell me about that.
Well, our work has brought the artistic, the musical, and together with a whole new type of linguistics. Mm-hmm. I call it musical transformation linguistics. Others would call it a step beyond and neurolinguistic programming, where the mind is actually working with a new vibratory visualization process.
Mm-hmm.
In our new series of books that we call The Divine Names of the Most High, or the Divine Names of the Divine Mother, the Divine Names of the Christus, the Christ, the names help us see a divine spark within all forms of life.
Mm.
We begin to see this spark not only as a face, but as a reality of various forms of nature and cosmic awareness, allowing us to go through the picture or cosmic scene into the higher reality of what is behind the cosmic scene. Much like a Tibetan tanka would speak to a person who for hours meditates on the tanka till he or she can penetrate and go beyond the artistic external into
so
the
we,
internal.
So we have to explore more of the human possibilities of the human mind, more. But we have barely scratched the surface of what we're capable of as human beings.
No, and I think it's great that ETs are around because you talk about them and people say, well, how do they communicate? And they say, well, telepathically. Well, you know, telepathically, can we really do that? And then we have books like Mind Dynamics that
yes.
show, yes, we can do that. And we have cell phones that also show us that we can do that. I always say, think of who's calling before you look at who's calling, and you see how tuned in you are.
But not only that, we are showing that the mind is a non-local entity, even with all the near-death experiences that people report. Obviously, it's not a brain function because they're existing beyond the brain. So what's going on? Who's the human being? What's the capacity for thought?
Good point. Well, the brain itself is like a cosmic antenna. It works to receive information.
It sends and receives.
Sends and receives.
But we're not actually in the body. We are, this is an avatar of...
It's a suit of clothes?
It's a suit, but we're not here. We're in a, who we really are on the spiritual level is in a non-local realm of eternal bliss.
Well,
according to the Keys of Enoch, we are embryo gods waking up.
But,
or a cosmic potential.
But on a more practical level, we say we have an over-self. And it's that over-self that's us who are cosmically aware. And then we send rays or manifestations of light to various embodiments that we take on and use that energy of our higher over-self when we can tap into it to help humanity wherever
but,
we go.
But do you
go.
Think the human person, so we're not the being, we're the over-self, but the personality has certain patterns and traits that it's inherited from its family genetically and humanity that we need to overcome?
Well, this is the crossing point that we're now at, to go from the selfish gene to the altruistic gene.
Mm-hmm.
What David Sloan Wilson speaks about, what Kurt Johnson speaks about, what the Keys of Enoch speak about, we have to let go of the narcissism that has put us in a life force field of the physical three-dimensional body and recognize that we are multidimensional beings. We are also non-local beings through consciousness expansion. And we are also cosmic beings in terms of the new cosmology of visitation and, shall we say, playful interchange of our scientific trade-offs that we have with our cosmic cousins.
So I think if the whole world woke up to that fact, what you just said, we would be in a different planet. We'd be ready for ET contact. It wouldn't be a foreign concept. It wouldn't be, you know, people say, do you believe in UFOs? It's not about belief. What are you talking about belief? Belief has to do with conjecture. This is facts. Are they here or are they not? What is belief? Where does that come in? So I think if what you're saying is that we were this evolving embryo gods, there wouldn't be a question about other beings.
Well, here. This will come into the open more and more as we see government disclosure now with the practical side of a new sociology and new psychology. This is the work of the Academy for Future Science. And those of you interested, please go to our website, because we have a series of conversations with Rupert Sheldrake entitled The Science of Belief and the Belief of Science.
You also have a group of conversations with me. We have about 40 video shows that I've done with the Her Talks on new realities over the last 20 years that you can order online if you email me.
And what we like about this...
at newrealities@earthlink.net. Yes? What? What we like about this?
And so, is the spiritual uniqueness of touching upon questions that other programs don't touch upon.
Right.
Right.
But going beyond self into the divine self, and beginning to come back into the human self, not staying out there in some other dimension, but coming back as a servant, as a way shower, as a, shall we say, a catalyst of a new humanity.
Mm. What were you saying?
I was going to say, and that's the within and without, because we can expand our consciousness within us to understand these other realms of intelligence. And the sages throughout all the ages had always seen other beings, angels or avatars or whatever you want to call them. And then now we're doing the without, where there's these beings, both ET and what we call UT, which are whole light beings. Dr. and I have both seen these light
beings. And we've documented this on camera.
You've seen light beings? What did they look like to you?
No, light. I mean, they're shining
lights. Did you get a psychic communication?
When you say psychic, you get a vibe, you get the field, as you were
saying. Where
were
you when you saw these?
Well, different places, mostly in California, but that's
Mexico and South America, even in South Africa. We have pictures and documents. Those of you who are interested can call up the imagery on some of our reports, our documentaries. And, of course, we have the opportunity to show the contact story of Regina, Brazil, in January 1996, to a private session here in New York at the United Nations.
What did you show them?
The actual documentation of the extraterrestrial being.
Called what?
The Vargina, that's a place in Brazil. But actually, these are not advanced beings. They were really kind
experimental life forms.
How'd they get here?
They were dropped off.
Brought here by extraterrestrial ships.
Why were they brought?
To show we as investigators that experimentation was taking place.
And
with
what
the
did
human
these
race.
Beings look like?
They look very much like small diminutive beings that you would find in Borneo or in parts of Indonesia that lived, say, 100,000 years ago.
Well, they smelled.
Did you see them?
No, we both didn't see them.
We saw pictorial reports.
Yeah. Because
they were very primitive.
Yeah, there were three girls that saw them first, and then there was a policeman and the firefighters. The policeman actually touched the being. The firefighters did not, and the policeman died within a month.
Because there was some radioactive
or something. You know, these are alien intelligences.
Don't touch aliens. Is that what you're saying?
Well, not if they smell.
Not if they smell.
What Desiree is saying is the practicality that some of these experimental forms have a different physiology, different chemistry, and it's like going into the jungles where you stay away from certain life forms, to certain trees or certain fruits.
Right.
One man's myth may be another's religion. One man's poison may be another's.
I think you're also saying there's many, many, probably an infinite amount of different types of beings out there.
Which is why we need
races.
An expanded sociology and anthropology.
Right, an exo-anthropology that will show the exoplanets' life and civilization. We've been very limited to one small planet. But as far as people listening tonight and watching, how can they prepare their minds to meet the ETs on like an even ground, not in fear, but evenly?
Well, I want to start with the fact that the Book of Knowledge, The Keys of Enoch, that Dr. Jack wrote in the 1970s, was to prepare humanity on 64 levels of science to be prepared. And that science is also a consciousness science. It's a genetic science as well, and we're getting there a lot with the genetics and stem cells. Mm-hmm. We've also found out that part of our nucleobasis for our DNA, which is adenine and guanine, actually exists in outer space.
It does?
Yeah, it's amazing.
But to answer your question directly, we have to see the larger blueprint and the golden thread of geometry that vibrates, that interconnects all of these topics.
And the golden thread that connects all geometry throughout the multiverse as well.
Right.
You know, there's lots of geometries that are common throughout creation.
Well, we would say that there's a creative force, a creative power. We call God, or historically, or the universal mind, many ways
of seeing. So this requires visualization, an orientation, or what we call the higher learning process through the internet, where people can begin to see these beautiful geometric forms be prepared to work with those that are most conducive to positive thinking.
Are you saying that will prepare them for ET contact?
I'm saying that this is why the sand paintings of the Hopi, mm-hmm. the great mandalas of the Eastern cultures, that was the subject of the greatest of minds, the greatest of spiritual scholars, and the greatest of shamans down through history, was to use the visual arts to open up the mind to see big picture productively, pluralistically, and positively, unlike the dualistic mind of Western science that has downgraded the exceptions to the rule of, shall we say, an earth-based materialistic physics.
I agree with you. So, preparing for contact.
And this is your work.
It is my work.
Seeing the exceptional face forms in artistic renderings.
Right, right. No, my work is to bring out the power of art to open up people to new realities. Because the artists themselves don't know what they're showing people. They're like everyone else, but somehow they're connected to a cosmos, to a higher consciousness beyond the logical mind. So when an artist creates, whoever that artist is, if they're truly in creation, like Marcel Duchamp said, they are like a medium bringing through the message that's beyond the logical mind.
I would say Alex Gray, who's a mutual friend and has something called Cosm, is one of those perfect examples. When you look at his art, you start wondering, who are we? Are we a body? And you see that the body itself is this energy grid, literally for a higher consciousness.
So this is part three of our conversation, and a new awakened spirituality that is not simply spirituality in the old sense, but spirituality in the sense of seeing the divine image, to feel the collective personality at work, and also to see the positive frontiers of how we can actually be prepared to go to other planetary worlds.
Well, but it starts with our mind, our ability to look beyond our prejudices, to see our human limitations that have been brainwashed into us by our culture, by our religion, and by our media and by our political organizations. We've been conditioned to think in a very limited way, and we have to bring it out of the box.
Well, exactly, and this is the contribution you are making.
Yes,
through networking, through new realities.
Yes, well, I was going to say Krano Mutwa, who we interviewed and have a great video called "Voice of Africa." He said we have to go beyond the fear.
Yes,
and when we go beyond the fear of realizing we may not be the center of the universe, then we may have to open ourselves up to accept other realms of intelligence and accept them as, well, I would say equals. I wouldn't even put them superior. Some of them can be superior, but if they're superior, then they'll know how to be equal and share with us. And that's the important thing.
Well, this is also what Whitley Strieber talks about. It's what, you know, going beyond the fear and showing that we are part of something bigger than ourselves. So what is the takeaway? What if people listening to this and they want to go beyond, well, one more thing I want to say, I think crop circles is another way to prepare us for this coming
change. The takeaway is to lay claim to our higher birthright, that we are multidimensional beings, that the political, the sociological, the psychological, and the spiritual have to converge in a meaningful way. The conversation has to begin, first of all, within our hearts and minds together, and then be extended from our physical make up our physical logic into a new language, which is artistic, musical, and spiritual in its interplay.
And I would say to prepare us for the future, we need two key things,
okay.
Love and wisdom. And that wisdom is a wisdom not just of the earth reality, but of the heavenly reality.
It seems so many people are not open to this. They're not even talking to their neighbor who lives next door. So humanity is in a serious place.
This happens with the takeaway culture of materialism. If you get more and more material as your end game, you get into what I call a psychological equilibrium, where you're not able to go forwards or backwards because your whole center of gravity is within yourself. You have lost, as it were, the authentic force field of life. And we see this tragically being played out now by the cry of Mother Earth in parts of the world where all of the foodstuffs have run out, all of the renewables have run down to a level that the great minds at the United Nations do not see hope beyond the horizon. We're spiritual, philosophical insights of knowing the real humanity and the real issues, shall we say, in the ditch or in the trench or on the street corner, that reminds us that we are here of a much larger design.
And I have to say, I think there's two reasons why ETs are trying to contact us. And many people, to governments, have been contacted by ETs or at least seen UFOs.
And why do they want to talk to us?
I think two things is, one, I think our use of nuclear energy, because they really started appearing when we did experiments with the atomic bomb.
Appeared in New Mexico where the first atomic bomb was dropped.
Exactly. And then the second is what Dr. Jack was alluding to, the fact that the planet is probably going through some major changes. And we need, in a certain sense, to come together collectively, to understand each other, to help each other, and also to get advancements in technology to be able to survive the changes.
Well, do you think it's just the planet that's going through change, or you think this whole dimensional vibration is going through a change?
Well, of course,
that's what it seems like to me.
It's hard to know farther away from the planet because we have history if you want solid evidence, but it does seem like even planets like Mars seem to be warming
even
up.
Even Jupiter is getting hotter.
Exactly.
I mean, maybe it's the whole three-dimensional plane. That's,
and so then we go back to the whole scenario of the Mayan calendar, and I know people got sick of that for 2012. We actually, all together, the three of us did beyond 2012 because we knew we had planned for 1,000 people coming the day after, and they did. We had 1,500 people, by the way. But in addition to that, the idea is that the Mayans are telling us it's a new day. It's a new dawning, and it's
a new
consciousness.
Day. It is. Well, what do you think about the Jewish calendar coming in? They're saying in the year 6,000, we're at 5,744, that the 6,000 will mark the seventh day of creation.
Or the eighth day.
Or will come into a time of bliss. So we're coming into that time before sunset, that is the afternoon of Friday before the Sabbath.
Well, I just want to continue on a little bit. With the Mayans were talking about our place in the universe, of how we wander around the Milky Way.
Right.
And I do believe that they understood that certain places in the Milky Way, in addition to places in the whole solar system, are significant for consciousness. Now, with that said, what you were also describing is the fact of how this era is really the dawning of a new phase, a new age.
It is. It's the Aquarian age. It's the interdimensional age, like I was also saying, it's marked in the Jewish calendar. But what
simply want to say that there's a debate going on amongst Orthodox circles and Kabbalistic circles.
Yes.
Some suggest this is the year 5,777.
Yes.
So what I'm saying to you, you can look at this as a mathematical game of sorting different dates to fit different traditions of theology, or you can see this as a breakthrough of all traditions in terms of a grand cycle, a grand opening, whereby all humanity, irrespective of tradition or orientation, is going to feel a sense that something is shaking the world, like the day the earth stood still, when the president of the United States or the premier of China for that matter, any European country tells us we're not alone, and be prepared to meet our extraterrestrial counterparts or guests.
Right.
Some would see them as intruders. Some would see them as, shall we say, uninvited visitors who are taking advantage of human naivety. So we have to have a criteria of preparation. And this is why new realities and the new work of the Academy for Future Science with this library of teaching is so important, because we handle all of the basic 64 areas of knowledge. Why? Because you have to see the full picture in order to make decisions work for all humanity.
But some will see ETs as those who are trying to help us. And in fact, Dan Fry, who was in the 50s, had a contact. He was taken actually out into space and brought back, and he was shown different technologies.
Oh, really?
One of which is actually similar to what some friends of ours are making right now, and that's a blood syringe that can immediately, within less than a minute, do eight tests that a normal blood test would normally take you several hours to another big machine. So he saw that. He saw the technologies. If you want to look at the fact of even night viewing goggles.
So we have futuristic technology already,
even
though it's not fully lake knowledge. We have scientific trade-offs that have taken place behind the scenes
as Colonel Corso
during the last 70 years.
Yeah. We have to understand, though, the basics of life of geometry, and that's a universal thing. The golden mean spiral is something that exists throughout the universe. And that gets me to my last question, is that what I find is really interesting are the angles. No one ever talks about the 23.5 degrees angle of the Earth as it meets the solar plane, but the solar plane is also tilted at the galactic plane at a certain, I think, 53 degree angle. These angles are very important as far as energy transfers, and no one ever talks about that. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, no, I
and
do.
And each galaxy is angled in a certain way, and each solar system within the galaxy is angled. Why? What does this
These
mean?
These angles are very close to what you find in the Great Pyramid, which is a 51, 51, and the 23.
There's
all
something,
these
energies
scenarios
that are transferred in angles, 90 degrees or a certain angle. So people need to understand angular science if we're going to understand the science of the universe. That's my feeling, and no one talks about that.
Well, we've touched upon this in some of our publications. We've examined that if you look at the Great Pyramid in Egypt on a map and you look at Bethlehem as a distant point in terms of an angle that will bisect the little city of Bethlehem in terms of the parent angle of the Great Pyramid, there will be a 26-degree process that will be observed, which is to say, that is the Christ event of the Star of Bethlehem that George Van Tassel speaks of, that the ancient Hebrew scholars and sages speak of, somehow trigger a higher resonance or plane of intersection for higher states of consciousness or Christ consciousness.
Well, I think we're coming into a really great time, a very exciting time, a very powerful time of spiritual energies and spiritual evolution. This is a very exciting time to be on the planet.
And we want to thank you, Alan, for being a wayshower with new realities, because as people go back and listen to the archive of programs we've put together over the last 20 years, they will realize that we are going into a new school, a university. We are being given a scripting within the inner psyche of the mind to learn a vast area of knowledge that will make us potential avatars of future civilizations.
So this is like elementary school, the entire planet.
And we must not be afraid of graduation, even though people are trained.
And we must not be afraid of ourselves also, our own power of our own mind, to know yourself, to know the qualities that transcend the old human paradigm, that we're much larger than that.
The keys say, get beyond your bottom below consciousness. Realize that we are cosmic beings, and we have the ability to connect with the greatest levels of intelligence through the power of consciousness awakening within us.
So we have to get out of the programming. How do people that we talk to that don't even know they're in a program, how can we push them beyond their own limited mind?
Well, you know, in our book, The Overself Awakening, the very first chapters are talking exactly about that, because unless people start looking outside the box, they won't get the answers. If they think it's all here, Dr. Tekshaw, that's like the tongue of a speaking snake, that saying it's all here, don't try anything else, be comfortable here.
There's no life beyond, there's no life beyond.
But there is, obviously, and we're part of a...
I think for most people, Alan, it's the inner awakening that comes out of fear and suffering.
Sadly.
And nakedness and isolation, that there has to be something else.
But it doesn't have to come that way. It can come through joy, love, and a greater experience. And a lot of young people, and I know we're reaching some young people tonight, they've had experiences. And then they come back to say, well, what does that really mean?
And
I don't
understand
it.
But I do think we're here to have fun. We're here to live in joy. We're here to live in beauty.
Which we showed you earlier today.
That's right. We did show. We had a great demonstration of the joy of laughter, which is such a raw human emotion that...
Actually, people are doing... Now there's yoga laughter. I hadn't even heard of that. I know people are into the laughter scenarios, but then yoga laughter, because it's releasing a lot of animosity. You know, people are getting...
Is that what was happening with you?
I think so. People are getting cancer and many things because they're holding in their energies. They're not releasing it in joy. And they need to release it with joy.
So let's release it in joy. We do have to wrap up. I've been talking to... Drs. J.J. Hertog, Dr. Desiree Hertog, the Academy for Future Science there. Just look at their website, futurescience.org. They are a popular guest on my radio show and television show.
Or keysofenoch.org.
They'll be doing a conference coming up in Sedona in April. They're always the Easter conference. They'll be in Europe. They're in New York. I'll be hosting different events with them. There'll be a contact in the desert next May 2017. It's very exciting times for the work that they're
doing.
And
we're on our way right now to London, where we will be with Uri Geller, Marianne Williamson, Ling Mitchell, Taggart, Greg Braden, and Anita Morjani. So it's a
fantastic. Some of my favorite people.
Yeah,
I've interviewed all of those people. Okay, and I'm Alan Steinfeld, and this has been New Realities. Thank you for watching and listening and being a part of this program. If you want to reach me, go to my website, newrealities.com. Email me at newrealities@earthlink.net. Thank you, and good night.